Excuse me just a minute. Is it on? Greetings to you from the Foxes in Reading. My wife and I were anxiously looking forward to come out and be with you folks. I know you folks don't hardly remember me, but the first time and the only time I was here was maybe 20 years ago, something like that. And at that time you were in a little white church, and I remember we had a wonderful time of fellowship with you folks, so it is very good to be back with you. You wonder who we are. We are the Foxes. And foxes like chicken. So if you're having us out for a meal, no. We do like chicken, though, but we like mostly all kinds of food. We are a family of eight. My oldest daughter has gone on to be with the Lord about 3 years ago. She got cancer, and the Lord called her home and left five children behind. One of them is married now. So the Lord has been good to us in our family. Our congregation is about the size of your congregation here, there in Reading. And we love to sing just like you folks love to sing. I get into a lot of churches, and it's kind of wish it would be better, okay? But you folks here have very, very good singing. I want to compliment you for that. I enjoyed singing along with you. I think I'm going to vote on Heaven's Going to Shine, and I'll vote myself. Dare to be a Daniel. We have a chorus in our church of about 50 people, and that's one song that they were singing this time, Heaven's Gonna Shine. And I tell you, that just about lifts me right off the bench when they sing that. So we are happy to be with you, and we look forward to spending the week with you folks. We want to lift up the name of Jesus. We're going to forget all about our problems, okay? If you're bogged down with a problem, you know, the devil likes that. He likes when you really are wrapped up in your problems, and that we forget to look to Jesus. And this week, I want to point you to the Lord Jesus. I had to think of these verses as I was sitting up here in John chapter 3. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Did you lift up Jesus today? Did you have your appointment with him today in your devotions? Or did you cancel out your devotions this morning because you were too busy? As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. We all know how that snake, and I want to tell you folks, there's a snake in your garden. You know it? There's a snake in your house. You know that the devil has a plan to destroy your church here. You know that? And he's going to do everything he can to destroy your church. And it's over crazy things at times. The devil is after to destroy your family. And he's going to do all he can to destroy your family. The devil is after to get you personally as a person. He's out to get you. But I'm praising the Lord. When we lift up Jesus and that old devil stands no chance whatsoever. When we go after him in the name of Jesus. Verse 15 of John 3 says, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What a blessing it is that we can look forward sometime, folks, that all Christians, we're going to lift up, go up to be to heaven, and we're going to be together forever. I have quite a bit of funerals there in the city of Reading, because a lot of people die that don't have a pastor, and so I'm called there. And I use that opportunity to tell them about Jesus. And this one non-Christian came up to me. He said to me, "What are we going to do all the time in heaven?" Well, I wasn't really sure. I know we're going to sing and praise the Lord. We're going to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. But all I know, it's going to be a wonderful place. So, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, again, but have everlasting life. Folks, we're alive never to die. Never to die. A little over 3 years ago, when my oldest daughter died, I was standing alongside of her bed and seeing her waste away. That was really hard on me. I never knew it'd be so hard to lay aside a daughter. I knew it'd be hard, but I didn't think it was that hard. But she loved the Lord. Oh, she loved the Lord. And she was ready to go on and meet the Lord. And someday we're going to see all our loved ones up there in heaven. So praise the Lord that we can be serving the Lord and growing as a Christian. I don't know if it's in your book, my theme song. I couldn't find it. And is it in the book, Wes? Lord, light the great fire of love in your heart. It's not in it. That's one of the Mennonite songwriters. We need to sing his song. You think we can sing one verse or so? Why don't we stand as we sing, okay? Lord, light the great fires of your love in my soul. Oh, kindle those burning divine. And let your great spirit fall free into witness that Jesus is mine. I love you, Lord Jesus, I love you today. I love you in spirit and mind. My body is yours for anything, Lord. I'm satisfied now in your love. I'm satisfied now in your love. Man, that's good singing. Could we sing the second verse? Could you lead it, Wes? I don't think I can either. Okay, sit down. It's embarrassing, you know, when you start leading a song and then you halfway through you gotta quit. Well, I do hope that my aim this week is to light your fire, okay, without a match. So we're going to, Lord wants to light all of our fires and be a shining light in the world today. Well, I'm going to talk this evening on I Will Build My Church. The building program. I notice one of your codes is wrong here already. building codes, okay? The back door over here, folks, in Pennsylvania, the back door must open out. Did you have to do that here? No. Okay. That back door must open out. In case there's a fire, you can't pull the door back. You know, we have inspectors there in the city of Reading, and these inspectors, sometimes they're a little bit frustrating. Like if I would harp on that back door back there, but I won't do that. But these inspectors come in and they check. I can find a few violations in here. That's what inspectors do. I don't get me wrong, I don't come out here to try and find things wrong with your church, okay? I just want to make you a better church, all right? That exit sign back there, okay, that has to be there. That's a code in Reading. And there even has to be, even when the doors are open, and this door here doesn't have an exit sign, it needs to have an exit sign, okay? You have to have a fire extinguisher. In Reading, it's all kinds of things like that. So, in case of a fire, which I hear you folks just had one here, in case of a fire, okay, that no one is hurt, no one is burned, The inspectors are making one of them inspections in our building one time, and he was talking about this is a fire hazard and this and that. And there was about three inspectors, and I said to the one inspector that was doing a lot of the talking, I said, "You talk just like I preach." And he didn't know if he liked that. And then the other inspectors were kind of making fun of him for being the preacher boy. Well, folks, is there anyone here that can improve? Anyone here humble? Well, you've got a problem. Anybody here proud? We've got a few honest people. No, folks, what we want to do is check in our lives. God, folks, God is not finished yet with us. He still thinks that Jay Fox could do better. He still thinks that everyone here could do better. And so a revival meeting is to things in your life that you may have hidden. Maybe it's not hidden, but you may have things in your life, folks, that needs improvement. And so we want to, as we go through this week, we want to inspect our lives. Not the guy that's sitting next to you, okay? I hope you do come back every night. Maybe if you don't come back, the bishop should give me a call and I could call you, okay? I do want you to come back every night. Because the night you're not here is the night you should have been here probably. So make sure you come every night and come with an open heart. Come that you want to open your heart to the Lord. I'll tell you, folks, it's so amazing how God can use us. There are two things in my life, a number of things, but there were two things in my life that I said I would never do, and I did both of them. One was drive a VW bus. You ever see them years ago? You don't even probably, you guys are too old maybe. No, you're not. Okay, you're pretty old then. They have these VW buses, okay, and no heat. I'm telling you, in the wintertime, there was no heat, and these buses, they were cold. I said I'd never buy one of them. And some of you might have known Lee Mumau. Lee and I are very good friends. Well, anyhow, Lee Mumau sold me a bus, a VW bus van, and that's something I thought I would never do. You know, when you open your life up to the Lord, it's amazing what He'll do to you. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Another thing I said that I'd never do, I'd never live in the city. I just wouldn't. It's just not even. Now, my wife and I, we love the city so much that we feel sorry for those of you that live in the country. I mean, if you didn't try the city yet, try it sometime, okay? We just enjoy living in the city. So I said I'd never live in the city. Here we are, living in the city. The VW bus had an untimely death. My daughter that's up in heaven now, it's when some missionaries down in one of the southern countries, there was a flood and a couple of them drowned, I think. And we're having a big thunderstorm in Reading. And I told my wife and my children, whenever it's raining, don't go this one way. It goes down and under a railroad track and up the other side, okay? I said, now don't do that when it's raining. Well, my daughter, she knew better because I told her so. But she goes down this hill, hits high water about this high. Kaboosh! It went. My wife was sitting in the back seat. She thought they hit another car, but my VW, they quickly got out. And it was this deep. My VW started floating. It floated for a little bit, okay? But you know what, folks? The very things that you say you're not going to do. Now, you might be saying things. There are things in my life that I'm not going to change. This is the kind of books I like to read, and nobody's going to tell me not to. I have this kind of music I listen to, and nobody's going to tell me what to listen to. I'll listen to what I want to listen. I'll read to what I want to read. I'll do what I want to do, okay? I'll sweep my porch, you sweep your porch. That's where a lot of people live today. Well, the first thing we need to inspect, folks, before we just put a gym up about 5 years ago, nice big gym, and before we could build the, we had to have the foundation, a good foundation. The inspector had to come out. We weren't allowed to start building until there's a good foundation, and he knows the foundation will hold the building. Folks, check your foundation. The foundation that you want to build is on Jesus Christ. It is the building on the rock. Okay? It's building on the rock. Are you saved? Are you born again? Every time we go flying, we have to go through this thing. You have to take your shoes off. You have to take your coat off. I have to take my belt off. I had to empty all my pockets. Then my wife tried to go through one here a couple weeks ago, and she had a bunch of scissors along. She forgot she had in her bag. And so she, you know, they looked at it, and then they really examined me. They pat me down because of what she did. It seems like what they do. This time coming out here, I was patted down a number of times, and I still don't know what the one thing was. He pulled out a rag, and he wiped my hands with this white cloth. If anybody knows what that was for, let me know afterwards. But what we want to do is get a good foundation, make sure our foundation is built on Jesus Christ, because the building that we put up, folks, the storm will be coming. Storms will come. Your folks had a storm last night when that house burned. Folks, we got to build a house that's not going to burn. Okay? That's what we got to build. Now, I don't believe in going to movies. Okay? I don't go to movies. But we did take our students down to Philadelphia to the IMAX there. And it was on tornadoes. Okay? And a lot of you might have been in an IMAX or a big screen. I mean, you actually feel like you're there. Well, here, what was on the movie for the day or the hour or whatever it was for was on tornadoes. This guy would chase tornadoes. Okay? He would take, they had this vehicle about double the size of a car. And their job is that when a tornado is coming, that they go out there and they get into the path and they want to get right in the center of the tornado. I don't think I'd want to do that, but some people do that. They want to get right in the center of the tornado. So when they see it coming, here it comes now, and when it comes, it takes them but seconds to put down their anchor. They put their anchors way down deep so that when that tornado comes, their machine is going to stay solid. Folks, that's what we need to do today. We need to have an anchor. We need to put our anchors deeper down deeper today than we ever did in the past, folks. Put your anchor down because you think it's bad now. I'm telling you what, it's going to get worse and worse and worse. Yes, it will. The closer we get to the return of the Lord, folks, the more difficult it's going to be a Christian. It's already getting harder and harder to be a Christian. And we're getting sucked into the system through all the modern technology that we can't get out. I don't know at what point the church Christians are going to have to say, this is it. I can't go any further. So I just want to encourage you, folks, put your anchor down. Put it down. The storm is coming. It's not if it comes, it's when it comes. The storm is coming. And you know the story of the wise man. He built his house, and he built it on the rock. And when the rains descended and the winds blew, and it came down to the house stood firm because it was on a rock. How do you take things? What happens? How do you react when a storm comes into your life? Does your house blow over? Does your house stand? If you are built on the rock, folks, and I hate, when you're on the rock, the storm comes, and you can live victoriously through the storm. It's because of Jesus. The man that built his house on the sand, we know what happened to him when the rains came and the winds blew and beat upon the house fell. I'm going to tell you something, folks. We have a lot of houses that fell over. The tornado came and ripped a bunch of homes apart, ripped a bunch of churches apart, ripped a bunch of personal people apart. The tornado is doing a lot of damage, and we are not anchored. We want to be anchored in Jesus. Will your anchor hold in the storms of life? We sing that song. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast, sure, while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move. It's grounded, it's firm, it's deep in the Savior's love. Oh, whatever storm comes, folks, I'm here to tell you, there's a storm coming. I don't know when it's going to hit, but all I can say is get your anchors down. Get them fastened that when the storm hits, that you're going to be able to stand. So the house that is built on the rock will be able to stand. Well, when you come to building a house or building a church or whatever you do, folks, you have a blueprint. The carpenter never goes and says, well, I'm just going to go and start hammering away and take some lumber there. No, you have a blueprint. You plan exactly how you want your house built. Folks, have a blueprint, and we're going to talk about this maybe tomorrow night. I have a blueprint for your family. Okay? Have a blueprint for the house that we're going to be building. Have a blueprint. Know what you're going to do. Know how you're going to build. Know how you're going to lead your family and guide your family. You want to know. We want to get the blueprint out so that we can build the house the way the Lord wants us to build the house. Remember who we're building for and who's going to live there. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Spend just a little time here in Corinthians. We have to build according to God, okay? We need qualified builders. When we build, we need electricians, we need plumbers, we need those that put up drywall, we need all kinds of people. And the church can put all these kind of people to work. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning of the chapter, Paul says, and I, brethren, would unto you, but speak unto you as, let me start over, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as babes in Christ. Folks, if you're a baby here at church, stop being a baby. You know how babies get attention? I held a baby last week. And it was only about 4 or 5, 6, I don't know, a week old, something like that. I held this little baby in my arms. It was not my grandchildren. I have 34 of them. But I held this little baby in its arms, and I was pretty proud of myself because it didn't cry at first. But it wasn't too long, the baby started crying. All right? And I handed the baby over to the mother. All right? I left her take care of it. Because she started, you know, when my wife starts crying, did your wife ever cry? Yeah. Ben, did your wife ever cry? Well, you know, when a wife cries, she gets special attention, don't she? Yeah. My wife, and then you ask them what's wrong, and they say, nothing. You know? And you know something's wrong. But anyhow, folks, to build this church, okay, we can't have crybabies. Okay? Can't have crybabies. When a baby wants attention, it cries.
When my wife wants attention, he cries. When, folks, when we're coming to build the church, we can't have those that are tearing down the church. Some said, I'm a Paul. I'm for Paul. Paul's my preacher.
Who else is it here? One of them said, I'm for Apollos. I'm for Apollos. I'm for the deacon. Okay? I don't like the preacher real good, but I go for the deacon. This guy said, I'll go for the bishop. And this I say that every one of you saith, I'm a Paul, I'm Apollos, I'm of Caiaphas. And the other guy says, I'm just a Christian. I don't need Paul and Apollos. It's just me and God. God and I. Do we have some of them here? Hope not. You know, we need each other. We need each other. We men don't like to cry. We don't cry very easy. And when we do cry, miracles happen. Okay, but men don't like to cry. But I want to tell you what, folks. I just want to encourage you, as it says here, is Christ divided? When we're coming to build a church, we can't have one man starting to tear down what the other man built. Wouldn't that be foolish? Here's this guy. You're working hard, and he's tearing down what you just built up. Go home and, you know, cut up the preacher, the sermon, whoever you want to. Well, it needs, in building the church, folks, we need to work together. We cannot work in two different ways. We've got to do all we can in working together, making sure that we are building the right way. And here is the book, folks, that we've got to make sure that we are building according to the Word of God. I think of the verses back here in Revelation where it talks about building. He says here, see if I can lay my eyes on these verses. But anyhow, the thing of it is to obey the Word of God. Folks, if there's ever a time in our life, you know what? We don't have to talk about the Baptists or whatever. The Mennonite Church has an back our way. You don't have so many different kind of Mennonites here, and you can thank the Lord for that. The Mennonites are good, but I'm telling you what, we think we're non-resistant. We claim that the Mennonite Church is non-resistant. Oh, there's a lot of Mennonite churches today, folks, that aren't non-resistant. They don't love each other. They just love the guy over in China somewhere. Yeah, we can all love them, can't we? We have no problems loving them. But folks, to love the brotherhood, Jesus said, here is the book. This is what tells you what to do. And so we want to love our Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength to love the Lord. We want to work together. We want to fix things that are broken. So, as we build our building, we're going to have the inspector, and I like to show you who that inspector is going to be. And that's going to Genesis chapter 11. Here it talks about, we know this story quite well, where the people got together and they said, we're going to build. And verse 2 says, and it came to pass that as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelled there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime, and they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower. Let's go and Now, church buildings are beautiful. This is a beautiful building here. But if you build this to make a name for yourself, oh, you're going to be in trouble, okay? And they said, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach into heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Well, that's easy to understand. They said, if we build a tower, if we build a city, and then people are going to be afraid of us, and we could get scattered, but if we have this kind of a name, that won't happen. Verse 5, and the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. The Lord came down, folks. I'm going to ask the Lord this week that the Lord would come down and inspect your building. Now, like I say, we never like when inspectors come. They can be a real pain. They can make you do things that you think are so unnecessary. And invite God to come down and to check out my attitudes. Why do I do what I do? Why do I act the way I act? Well, it says here in verse 5, and the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord, verse 6, and the Lord said, behold, the people is of one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Let us go down there, confound their languages, that they may not understand one another's speech. Folks, that happens in the church. You know that? When we don't speak the same language. We have a school there in Reading. We have 165 students, and half of them are Anabaptists, and the other half are everything you can think of, okay? And we have some Spanish, we had some Romanian, we had some Dutch, we have some English, we have all kinds. And I also, there in East Reading, I buy some houses and rent them out, and we have a lot of people that speak other languages than the English language. And I'm telling you, folks, there's nothing that is more confusing when we're speaking different languages. Whether they're in our school, whether I'm working with them, or whatever it is, and I can't understand them, I don't know what they are saying. We have a Spanish man that does work for me, and he can't speak English, and I can't speak Spanish. So there we are, you know. And the more motions we make, the more confused we get. You know what, folks? There's a lot of people in the church today. There are a lot of churches, and I hope it's not here. You know, I know actually nothing about you. I did hear a good report about you folks, though. I was speaking this last week down in Georgia. I was, and there was people there from, it was for a teacher's institute, so there were teachers there from all over. And I mentioned I'm going to Bonner's Ferry. Yeah? Yeah. And everybody seemed to know about you guys. You know that. I don't know why. I either got an uncle and an aunt or somebody I ran around with or something. Yeah, they knew about you folks up here. And I don't know a thing about you folks. I really don't. Okay? But it's sad. You know, it's sad when everybody's speaking a different language in the church. You know what I mean? He says the Holy Spirit's leading him this way. He says the Holy Spirit's leading them that way, and soon the church is not speaking the same thing, and there's nothing there but utter confusion, and the devil had it all planned out, and he's standing back and ha! Got him again. Folks, love your church. Love it. When Jesus comes down to inspect your house, you know, the reason we're going to build a house, folks, okay, where both Jesus and I live together. Isn't that wonderful? Every place I go in my house, Jesus is going to go.
He's going to listen to every conversation. How do you like that? He has the power to put up here on the wall everything that you thought today. Would you like him to live in your house? Oh, I'm telling you. Yeah. He's going to move in when you're a Christian. And so this house, can a house that is divided stand? Can it stand? No. A house that is divided cannot stand. So you want to work together. You want to do all you can to keep peace and joy and happiness in your home, in your family, in your church, with your neighbors. So he comes down. He inspects your house. And he says, if it's clean, I'm moving in. You know the time that Jesus was fed up with them? When they were in the temple, they were buying and selling and doing all kinds of things in the temple that they weren't supposed to be doing. They were supposed to be worshiping the Lord there. And Jesus got upset. Very seldom do we read in the Bible that Jesus got upset as he was here, but Jesus got upset. Does Jesus get upset when he comes into your temple, your house, your church? Does he get upset when he walked, the Holy Spirit walked up and down between the benches and he speaks to each heart? Well, here is Jesus. Going back to the Jesus in the temple, what did he do? He grabbed, I won't do it. But it would be like me grabbing this and throwing it upside down. You probably tell me not to come back. But Jesus, what they did, Jesus grabbed that table, threw it upside down. He had a cord, a whip. And the Bible says that he went and he drove them out of the temple. He drove them out. He cleaned house. Jesus spanked them good. You know what? When Jesus lives in your house, he's going to spank you once in a while. And it's going to hurt. I spank my children once in a while because they needed it. And don't say this, parents, while I think of this. The only time you tell your child you love them is when you spank them. Jesus would say, don't do that. Don't do that. You tell them other times that I love you. So they don't associate that with a paddling. You whip them and they say, I love you. Never tell them other times. Well, you know what, folks? Jesus is in the spanking business. Yeah, he is. Whom the Lord loveth, he does what? He chasteneth. The Lord chases me at times. He does. He chases me. He paddles me. And it's for my good. He's going to live in his house, folks. In his house, it's not going to be perfect, okay? But the people in this house are going to be open to do what God asks them to do. Our President Obama, he lives in the White House. And you know what? It's pretty nice because of who lives there. You don't see broken windows. You don't see unmowed grass. It's just pretty nice because of who lives there. Folks, what a privilege it is to have Jesus live in my heart and your heart. I mean, he walks with you, he talks with you, he plays with you. He is just there. In the house that we build is a house where Jesus and you are going to dwell. And if he's in your house, you know the story of Mary and Martha, how Martha was busy doing the housework and Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. Poor Martha had to do all the work. But that one thing Martha needed to do was sit there at the feet of Jesus. Sit there. When Jesus comes into your house, folks, When Jesus met Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus was this little guy, and Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus in the worst way, but he was so small, but his heart was he wants to see Jesus. Folks, do you want to see Jesus? What? If you were to die tonight, you know you're going to die tonight, would that please you? You know what, folks? We need to love Jesus a bit more than we do. There's nothing wrong with wanting to live. You know, when my daughter was sick, not once, not one time did she say, I wish I wouldn't die. Not one time did she complain. I tell you what, she taught me how to live and she taught me how to die. One night we had an all-night hymn singing. Her and I were singing songs of heaven. She knew she was about to go on. There was one thing that she asked of the Lord. She had a granddaughter that was going to be born, her very first one. She said, I just would like to see my granddaughter before I die. And you know what God allowed her to do that? 2 weeks before she died, she got to hold her little granddaughter. My daughter's name was Diane. She named the little, they named the little girl, the baby, Diane. She longed to go on to see Jesus. Folks, this house that we are building, we're going to go back to 1 Corinthians for a few more minutes. And we want to take a look at this house a little bit closer. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I guess I'm going to skip down to verse 19. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you? We got God in our hearts. We got the Holy Ghost in our hearts. We got Jesus in our hearts. We got angels. On our flight yesterday, got all verhuddled, the Dutchman would say. We didn't know if we were coming or going. We had to get all. I was just glad, though, that that we weren't up in the sky when they discovered a problem. We were at Harrisburg. We were all in on the aircraft. They pushed us back from the gate. Then we were sitting there and sitting there and sitting there. Finally, they come on and say they have a problem, which I knew that. Anyhow, they got off. We had to all get off the plane and find another way to get here. What, know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and which ye are your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit with God. So, the temple that we are building is the temple of the living God. And what a privilege it is to have him to be there. So we want to meet the codes in our building that is going to help us not to fall down and to collapse. So I'm looking for these verses here in Corinthians. But God wants us, okay? God wants you today, tonight, tomorrow, this week. God wants you to check out your building to make sure that the codes are up to what they are to be. In Nehemiah chapter 2, when Nehemiah saw the condition of Jerusalem, number one, folks, you have to see your condition, all right? Ask God, I want you to ask the Lord tonight on your knees, what is it, Lord, that you would like to see changed in my life? I don't want to hear you say that preacher challenged me. I want you to hear that preacher through the Word of God changed me. We can be challenged and it don't help. But to be changed, God wants to change us and to fill us and to fix what is broken. Nehemiah chapter 1, when when Nehemiah saw the condition of Jerusalem, it says that he wept, he mourned certain days, he fasted, he prayed before the God of heaven, and said, I beseech thee, O Lord of heaven. Notice what he did again. Do you cry for your own self? Men, we are faced with issues today. Youth, we are faced. Ladies, we are faced. Children, we are faced with issues today that I wasn't faced with. Always remember when the old bishop, preacher, where I was growing up as a child, slammed the pulpit. And he said, the church that allows the radio, I don't know if you allow it or not, we have the radio. The church that allows the radio, he said he's going to allow the television. I said, no, we'd never be that evil. Never. My dad, when I was growing up, we would pass his open-air theater. Okay? And my dad didn't even want us to look at that thing. So he said, if we pass there and you look the other way, don't look at that thing, we'll stop at the Twin Kiss and get some ice cream on the way home. Guess what? My dad peeped, and the car stopped like that. Sure, it happened. Well, this old preacher said, the one that allows the radio will allow the TV. I said, no, we're not that bad. We wouldn't do that. Folks, back there, the TV was pretty good. The Mennonite church took a stand and stood well against TV. I can see the devil getting his demons together and saying, we got to do something else here. These Mennonites aren't buying television. What are we going to do? Anybody guess what he came up with next? Computers? On the palm of their hand, they can pull up anything they want. And most men, I'm finding out, most men say it, they know it's dangerous, they know it's bad, they know soldiers are falling, but very few are willing to get rid of them. Very few. I'm going to tell you something. It's going to cost you something. Let's not see it too late unless we saw it too late already. Be careful, folks. Be careful what's in your house. I want to back up to Zacchaeus just a little bit. When Zacchaeus had that longing to see Jesus, that he climbed in that tree. And when Jesus came along and saw Zacchaeus, he said, come on, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to your house. I want to see what your house looks like. Zacchaeus out of that tree. And when Zacchaeus met with Jesus, and Jesus met with him, they had a wonderful time together in the Lord. Folks, how is your personal devotion? I'm going to tell you something, preachers, bishops, and deacons. There is no rules anymore. There is no rules that are going to cut this modern technology. You're going to do away with it. I'm telling you, we're not going to do away with it. The only thing that's going to save us, folks, if you are born again, Bible-believing Christian, on fire for Jesus Christ, have a personal relationship with him, you're going to go down. We're going to get to the judgment, and God is going to say, don't take this personally. You're a goat. You're a sheep. You're a sheep. You're a goat. You're a goat. He's going to divide the sheep from the goats. That time is coming. Folks, this modern technology is dividing the sheep from the goats. That is. The church can't stop it anymore. It's a strong wave. None of us know what's coming next in it. We're not willing to get rid of it, then we better get born again. You know, coming out here, very annoying to me. You sit down in this television, it's right in front of your snoot. You know, and the lights are flashing, and Kitmate kept me from sleeping and everything else. And when I did look at it, it wasn't fit to see. The devil, so much desensitizes us. I just want to warn us, folks. When you see the condition of our world today, it is sad news. It really is. And then it makes us Christians lukewarm. We don't want to keep it. We don't want to get rid of it. Soldiers are falling. What can we do is to make sure, folks, that you are born again. That when this pornography and all this stuff comes up, you close your eyes and you turn to the Lord. Well, Nehemiah here saw the condition. And it's time that we do this. Sit down. Sit down, folks. That's what he said. Sit down and weep and mourn and fast and pray before the God. And then I'm coming over to chapter 2, verse 12. He says, "And I rose in the night, and some few men with me, neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem." Now we can talk about back there in Jerusalem, but I'm asking all of us to ask God, "God hath what?" Let me read this again. "And told I any man that my God hath put in my heart to do for my here, for J. Fox." What is God telling my heart? What is God telling your heart? Folks, we've got to reach the heart. Rules, I'm for rules and regulations, but I'm telling you what, rules and regulations aren't going to cut it anymore. It's your relationship with the Lord. When you walk with the Lord, it's going to make you a powerful person. The Bible says when you pray, where should you go? In the closet. You know what the problem is? We can't get into the closet. The closet is full of junk. Hockey sticks, purses, shoes, all kinds of junk. Bible says get into your closet and then what should you do? Now if the little children go home and say, "Mom, clean out the closet." I'm talking about the closet up here. The closet is so full. When you go into that closet, you leave everything out. And what do you do with the door? You shut it. You shut the door. And when you shut the door, who is in there? You and Jesus. You know, my wife and I, we know each other really well. And the more you know somebody, the more you share with them. So I share about everything with my wife. We share. You go in that closet, folks, and you share with God. You know why people can do things and seem to get away with it and seem it don't bother them? I'll tell you why. They're never in the closet with God. When you're in the closet with God, you don't do such things. That's why people say, "Well, don't bother me. I don't bother me. I, you know, don't bother me any." I believe them. It don't bother them. It don't. But when you're in that closet with God, folks, and it's you and God alone, okay? And He shares His inner secrets with you that He don't share with other people because they cancel their appointment in their devotions too often. So when He comes out of that house, folks, and the glory of the Lord fills your heart, you know what? I try not to be charismatic. You know what I mean? speak in tongues and all them kind of things. But I want to tell you something. We could use a whole lot more joy and happiness than what we have. And I want to tell you what, folks. When we come out of that closet and God reveals some of His inner secrets to us, the Word of God, and He does, the closer you are to Him, the more He's going to tell you. Yeah? So you wonder why people do what they do. I'll tell you why. Because God don't get to speak to them. They don't go to the closet. You come out of that closet, folks. You got the blessing of the Lord. In the house that you are building, don't forget. Make sure, let's see what we can come up with. Make sure your house has bread. Okay? What brought the rebellious son, the prodigal son, back? You know what brought him back? He remembered the bread on his father's table. Fathers, keep bread on the table. That if your son or your daughter go wavered, and you know that you have bread on the table at home, he's going to come back. He'll want to come back. He remembered the bread on his father's table. Another thing that you want is water. Make sure you have water in your house, living water. Out of his belly shall flow what? Rivers of living water. Living there in the city, a lot of children come to our house. We want water. And they live as close as from here, a little further than the wall away. We want water. You know what they really want when they come knocking the door and they say they want water? You know what they want? They want living water. That's what they want. They want love. They want to just get inside of your house. Is you're the house. Okay, we got water. We got bread. We need salt. You're the salt of the earth. Make sure you have salt in your house. Jesus is going to look for salt. What else? Light. Make sure you have lights in your house. Jesus wants you to have light so you can see what you're doing. I could go and mention a whole bunch of things that Jesus, when He comes to check, that's what He's going to check for. He's going to check to make sure you have them things. Time to close. When Jesus comes to your house, what is He going to find? Is He going to find these things like salt and light? Oh, I missed one, oil. Just because oil's a high price right now, at least back in Pennsylvania, folks. Oil's a high price. You got to pay a lot of money for a gallon of oil. Too much. Folks, don't run out of oil. Don't run out of oil. Like the five foolish virgins ran out of oil. Check your oil. I had an old glummer of a lawnmower. The only time I checked put oil in was when it started rattling. Then I knew it was time to put oil in. Folks, make sure you have oil in your house. Okay? Make sure there's oil there. But that's what Jesus is going to be looking for, that when He makes your visit. So I want you to ask the Lord to visit your house tonight, okay? Have Him come down. Because when He comes and He finds something that is wrong, folks, I want to tell you something. My Jesus is so loving. You know, if I happen to hit my finger with a hammer, okay, and I think something I shouldn't think, say I swear, and I don't swear. Dads, I'd swear. Okay? With Jesus right with me, you know what happens? You know what happens? The devil says, ha, you're not a Christian. Look what you just did. You swore. You know what my Jesus does? If I do something wrong, He taps me on the shoulder. Jay, so gently. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He says to Jay Fox, he said, Jay, I love you. I'm a bit disappointed what you've done there. don't do it again. And you cry out to the Lord, say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Lord. Does he forgive? Yes, he does. How often are we to forgive our brothers when they sin? 70 times 7, I think it is. I think 7 times 49, 490 times. Just like we're to forgive others, the Lord forgives us. He does. He's so loving and caring. Now you don't say, well, I know the Lord will forgive me, so I'll just cuss if I want to, you know. No, don't do that. The Lord understands. He was tempted in all points. So as he walks with us through our house, and he sees some deficiencies, and he taps you and says, now you work on that, okay? You work on that. I tell you, it's so wonderful to be a Christian. It's so wonderful. How much do you really love him? I'm going to give an invitation tonight. And I'm going to ask you just to stand, just to stay at your feet, at your seat, but just raise your hands. I'm going to invite. I'm probably up in the tree, but I'd like to come to. I want you to come to my house. I want you to come to my house and see if there's anything wrong in my house. Okay. He'll point out something to you. Okay. Yeah, he will. But you're not perfect. I'm not perfect. But he'll walk with you through the house. And he'll say, I'll help you. I'll help you. What more can we have? He gave his life for us. He loved us so much. I'm going to ask you if you just want to invite Jesus in your house. You just slip up your hand and take him through your house, okay? Take him through your house. Take him to the prayer room and tell him, yeah. Okay. Number you any more, yeah. Praise the Lord. You know what? God's going to work. Sometimes we don't trust God, right, as to what he might ask us to do, okay? But remember, if he calls you to do it, he'll give you the power also. Yeah. He don't let you stick out there all by yourself. Any more yet? Here we go. Let's stand and sing, I Know Not Why God's Wondrous Grace.
I know not why God's wondrous grace to me he hath made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for his own. But I know whom I have believed. To keep that which I committed unto him again.
I know not when my Lord may come. It might be tonight, all right? All right? So get your house in order. I know not when my Lord may come.
I know not when my Lord may night or noonday fair, nor if I walk the bit with him or meet him in the air, but I know who I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day.
Let's pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You are dismissed.